السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. وی کنٹینیوئنگ ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. دا لاسٹ پروگرام وی ڈسکسڈ سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ عنہ ان دا ٹائم آف ابو بکر رضی اللہ عنہ. ناؤ وی لک ایٹ سیدنا عثمان رضی اللہ عنہ ان دا خلافت آف عمر رضی اللہ عنہ. So Usman radiallahu anh was held in high esteem by Umar radiallahu anh. When the people wanted to ask Umar radiallahu anh about something, they would approach him through Usman and Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu. You know, sometimes people they feel awe, you know, they feel awe. Now they're frightened to go directly to Amirul Mu'mineen. So they'll go to Usman radiallahu anh. Ask Umar and on this. Or organize a meeting for me with Umar and on. No? They go. So Usman radiallahu anh was known as Radif. Right? Radif is a person who rides in the back. You got the person holding the reins, right? He's in the front. And then you got a person, if you got two people on the animal, so you got some person sitting in the back. Now just on this point, I just want to explain something. You know, once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw one sahabiya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with a group of sahaba, they were going, and he saw this sahabiya. It was before the laws of parda came down. So she was carrying a big water bag. She went to fetch water, carrying a big water bag, and I should now walk and go to the house. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam offered her, said, give you a lift, take you. So she declined. She declined because she told her husband that I thought of your ghairat. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was with all these men now, I'm going to go with them, you know. So when we did this hadith sharif, now must know we don't ride animals, right? So now, the only thing we picture is how people on a motorbike. Right? People on a motorbike. So you got two people sitting on a motorbike. So the person in the back is holding the person in the front or holding the side. But the bodies have to touch. There's no way the body is not going to touch, right? Then when you're young and you're riding bicycle, you give somebody lift, you know, on your bicycle, you give somebody lift. So you make them sit on that bar of the bicycle. So there too now, your hands are like this, that person is sitting there, right? The bodies must touch, right? You see people riding horse, right? Riding horse. Now, the rider, if he got a small child, put a child in front of him, right? To ride two on the horse. Now the bodies must touch, whether the person is behind or the person in the front, bodies must touch. So I used to think this thing like, you know, in my mind, that how the Sahaba, how they rode like two people on a horse, so long you riding, going in jihad, and like how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now offered this lady a lift. How was she going to sit? Obviously there has to be an explanation. So once Allah Ta'ala took me to one museum, right, in one country. Allah Pak took me to one museum there. They got, the museum is called something about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, the name of the museum, right? Something about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I can't remember the name. This museum is in Sharjah. Outside Dubai is another place called Sharjah. Sharjah, there's a lot of deen there compared to Dubai. In Sharjah, you can't walk with short clothes and everything. They got boards there. And the Tablighi Markaz also is in Sharjah. So in the Sharjah, they got one museum. If ever Allah Pak takes you, you must try and visit these museums. The one museum is only about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how they got this thing, every battle
that was fought. They got a model of the battle. So if you want to know where the Muslim camp was, you press here, Muslim camp, one light will come on. Kafir camp, you press there, one light will come on. It'll show you how the battle took place. Right? Then they got replica of all the weapons of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how the weapons were. Right? The, what you call armor of Nabi, all replica, not the original. Then they got a replica of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's house. How low the roof was, how small the house was. So you can go inside and you can actually see that how Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lived in this small house. Right? Then when you read the hadith, that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to go in sajda, he tapped Ma'isha Nana, she folded her legs, he went in sajda. Because it was so small the room. Right? Then the different foods that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ate. So they got a whole list and they got like a, you know, like a model of what their food looked like. Right? So they take you like through history. You start from one side. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Nubuwat. Then this happened, that happened. Right? Makkah Mukarramah, how it was. Then Hijrat. Now they got a whole map of how the Hijrat took place. Right? Then you come to Madina Munawara. Now Battle of Badr, Uhud, you know? The whole thing is very nicely done. Allah reward them. So I went to that museum. There's a Morana Imran Musa. He runs the South African Islamic Center in Dubai. So he took me. He took me to this museum. And then he took us to another museum. That's a very big museum. So that museum, it got two floors. One floor got all this like fabrics and how the silk trade was and all. It's interesting to see. And the other floor, all like from the different khulafa, like what was the coins that they used, the dinar, the dirham. Then after that, when they started making coins, all in the Muslim world, the whole coming right up to the Uthmani Khilafat. Right? So in that museum, they had the saddles, replica of the saddles that Sahaba Ranyanum used to use. Right? And then they had a saddle which was put on the animal when two people had to ride. So, you know, Harley Davidson motorbike. You see, it got that like a backrest. Now this saddle is like that. I don't know, you boys, you ever played in a park? When you all were growing up, there were no more parks. You know, in a park in the old days, the older people will know, they used to have a thing called a horse. Right? So it had a horse's head, and the horse's head had handles. So one person will sit there. Then it had a seat for that person with a backrest. Then a second person will sit. Bodies don't touch. There's a gap between and there's a backrest. So you hold your handle on that backrest. You hold, that's how you stay on. Sahaba Nanum had saddle like that. So the person who's riding, he got a backrest. Then there's a seat with another backrest. So if you're giving somebody a lift, they sit on that seat. The bodies don't touch. Right? Then I saw another interesting thing. One time, I went to look for saddles. So I went to one saddlery, one shop, you know, they sell saddles. So I saw one very funny looking saddle, man. Had a handle and, why, what you gonna do with this saddle? So I asked the owner of the shop, I say, what is this? He said, no, it's a saddle. I said, how you use this saddle? So he's explaining to me that the ladies in, now he's talking about in the time of the English. But imagine even they had what haya in those days compared to today. Although what they had that time wasn't real haya, but compared to today. So he says that the ladies, when they used to ride the horse with their husband or something, they're going into town from the farm or whatever, that time they used to use the horses in town also. So now the man is going with his wife. So the wife shouldn't sit on the horse with her legs over the horse, like how a man sits. You know how normally you sit in a horse. The lady shouldn't sit like that in the horse, because they used to be wearing skirts, long, long skirts and those long, long dresses and all that. So, they used to sit on the horse sideways. Right? So the husband is riding the horse, so he's sitting on the saddle, and this thing got like another compartment in the front with the handle. So they will pick this lady up, the husband will pick her up, put her on the saddle, or they'll have a step for her to get up, and she gets onto the saddle backwards. And then she holds that handle for support, to stay on, and they ride like that. So her legs are on one side, and she's sitting like how you sit on a chair, sideways. Right? Now I saw this thing in Pakistan. In Pakistan, they ride motorbike, There are a lot of motorbike. The man would be riding the motorbike. He got one child in front of him, sometimes two children in front of him. Right? His wife is sitting behind him in the parda, cloak, parda, everything. Right? But she's sitting sideways. She don't sit like how a man sits on the bike. She sits sideways. Right? And she's carrying one baby in her hand too. How they do it, Allah knows best. She's carrying one baby too, and they're going. But they don't ride so fast like how these super bikes and all that. But a lot of traffic in Karachi and everything. But they sit like that on the bike. Sometimes four people, five people on one bike, you wonder, it can only happen over there. It can only happen there. Other places, they'll make accident. The husband is riding, he got two children in front of him, the wife is sitting there, she got one baby in her hand, and they're going. But the lady sits sideways. See, haya, That's their mode of transport. Right? Now, you don't do that in South Africa. In South Africa, you take a parda auntie and put her on a motorbike. It will be regarded as shameless. Like, you become a spectacle. Everybody will be making one TikTok video of you. But over there, it's like normal. Everybody travels like that. Nobody looks. Khair. Ji, so all this discussion, because Usman Radnan was known as Radif. So the Radif is the one who sits in the back on the animal. He's a Radif. Right. So why they would refer to Usman radiallahu an as Radif? Because people thought that after Umar radiallahu an, Usman Radnan become the leader. He's behind Umar Radnan. He'll become the leader. That's why he was given the title of Radif. Now, whenever people, I told you, when they wanted something to talk to Umar radiallahu an, so they would go to Usman radiallahu an, or they'll go to Abdurrahman bin Auf radiallahu an. Now, if they couldn't come right there, they'll go to Abbas radiallahu an. Because Umar radiallahu an had a lot of respect for Abbas radiallahu an, because he was the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even when they used to go out to make Salatul Istisqa, if there was a drought or something, he'd tell Abbas, go in front. And he'll say, Ya Allah, before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to be in front. Now Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not here. Now we got the uncle of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now through the barakat of that, you send down the rain. On one occasion, it happened that Umar radiallahu anhu set out with the people and they camped at a place called Sirar. Usman radiallahu anhu came and asked him, what's going on? What do you intend to do? Umar radiallahu anhu said, he made an announcement, As-salatul jami'ah. Now, whenever they wanted to gather the people for an important announcement, they say, As-salatul jami'ah. Immediately everybody would come. Right? Then he told the people that, no, I want to go for Iraq. You go for jihad, you go for Iraq. When Umar radiallahu anhu became Khalif, he consulted the prominent Sahaba that now, how much must be my allowance from the Baytul Mal? When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became Khalifa, then Umar radiallahu anhu, he stipulated how much he must get, you know. When Abu Bakr now became Khalifa, he was taking his cloth and going to sell. Umar now said, what you doing? He said, no, I still have to feed my family. I became Khalifa, but then I still have to feed my family. He said, no. People will come, they got work, and now you busy in the marketplace. It can't work. You have to be there in, at the, you know, service of the Ummat now. So you don't sell your cloth. You leave all the selling cloth and all that. We restipulate an amount from you from the Baitul Mal. Abu Bakr now was so careful with that money. That's another topic. We discussed it when we did his biography. So now Umar Rinaun became the Khalif. Now he is consulting the Sahaba Rinaunum that now what must be my allowance from the Baytul Mal. So Usman radiallahu anhu said to him, eat and feed others also. In other words, you need to take enough that you can take care of your expenses and you can feed other people too. When Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anh sent for Umar radiallahu anh to come to Baytul Maqdis, to come and conquer Baytul Maqdis, Umar radiallahu anh consulted the people. Now, what must I do? Must I go send somebody else? What must I do? Usman radiallahu anh told him that you must not go. Don't go to them. Don't go to them as a token of humiliation towards them. Because it will be honor for them now the Amir al-Mu'mineen came, you know. He said to Umar radiallahu anh, if you stay here and you do not go to them, they'll think you're not worried about them. And you are prepared to fight them. And they will soon feel humiliated and they will pay the jizya. That they don't regard us to be such a force that they have to send the Amir al-Mu'mineen to come fight us. Right? But Ali radiallahu anh suggested that Umar radiallahu anh must go. Umar radiallahu anh preferred Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anh's suggestion because it would give the Muslims himmat that Amir al-Mu'mineen is coming. They'll get himmat from that. Because the Muslim army, for so long they were fighting there in Sham. And now they had laid siege to Jerusalem. But they were not penetrating the city. So he felt if he goes, it will give himmat also to the Muslim army. From there you see, you know, that there was a wonderful relationship between Ali radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu. I mean, the way the Shia say, if that was the case, you think Ali Rinaun will be giving opinions here in the Mashwara of Umar radiallahu anhu. And Umar radiallahu anhu will be accepting his Mashwara. These Shias just talk lies. They just lie. During the Khilafat of Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, the status of Usman radiallahu anhu was that of an advisor. You could say that his position was like the position of Umar radiallahu anh to Abu Bakr radiallahu anh during Abu Bakr's Khilafat. In the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, Allah Pak gave Abu Bakr an advisor who was sincere towards him, right? Meaning Umar radiallahu anh. And he gave Umar radiallahu anh an advisor who was sincere towards him. Like how you would be to your own close family, like that Usman radiallahu anh was to Umar radiallahu anh. Abu Bakr radiallahu anh was the most compassionate of people towards others. And Umar radiallahu anh, he was strict. When it came to the truth, he was very strict. So Allah Ta'ala combined the compassion of Abu Bakr radiallahu anh with the strictness of Umar radiallahu anh, which resulted in a khilafat of truth, justice and strong resolve. Usman radiallahu anh was more like Abu Bakr in his compassion, softness. He was more like Abu Bakr radiallahu anh. And Umar radiallahu anh, he was strict. So again here now you had one who was strict and one who was more softer, compassionate. Right? So Usman radiallahu anh was like a replacement, you know, of that compassion and softness. You need the both. You need the both. All of this resulted in the best examples for ruling and directing the affairs of the Ummah in a wise and fair manner. The people knew of Usman radiallahu anhu's status during the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. And he was the one who suggested to Umar radiallahu anhu the idea of keeping records. Prior to that, there was no Diwan, no records. Now, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, there was so much of turmoil at that time. And his Khilafat was very short. Now when Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, then Usman radiallahu anhu advised him that you must keep a Diwan, keep a record. When the conquest spread further and the wealth increased, you know, now jizya is coming from so many places, war booty is coming in, and those were wealthy, wealthy countries, so a lot of wealth was coming in. So Usman radiallahu anhu gathered some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu and consulted them about this wealth. Usman radiallahu anhu said, I think it is a lot of wealth and it's sufficient for everyone. But if records are not kept in order to know who is taking, how much is being taken, where it's being spent, etc., right? I fear that the wealth will run out. If it's not managed properly, then it will run out. It's a lot of money. If it's managed properly, it will help the ummah. Umar radiallahu an agreed with Uthman radiallahu an, and they set up the system of record keeping. Every cent that goes out must be recorded. Every cent that comes in must be recorded. Where this was spent, who took this? It was a government, what you call expense or government project, like now the roads, waterworks, whatever. So money was spent for that. How much was given to the people, you know. So all the records were kept. Okay, we'll stop there and continue with this, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته